Well, good morning and happy Sabbath, everyone. It's so good to see everyone here this morning. Yes, I would have liked to have went to camp, but I went home. I haven't been home for Christmas for about 4 years, so it was a real blessing to go home. This morning, actually, I was going to try and put some slides up and show you some of my family and the farm and what we did. We went water skiing and we just had lots of fun together, so it was a blessing to be able to go home and see mum and dad and my little niece and nephew, but maybe another time I'll show you some photos. Before I begin, let's just say another prayer. Let's pray. God in heaven, Lord, I want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you for the opportunity that we can come here and spend time in your word, Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray, as I heard one old preacher say, dear Lord, I pray that you're about to, that I will be able to be an old nail, dear Lord, and that you'll be able to hammer me into the piece of wood and then hang a picture of Jesus on me, dear Lord. And I pray that Jesus will shine through and that what I speak, dear Lord, will be not my own, but your words, Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray now that as we read and as we open and look at the stories in the Bible, Lord, I pray that you're about to send the Holy Spirit to be upon me. But dear Lord, I pray not only upon me, that he will be upon every person in this congregation this morning, Lord. And I want to thank you for this opportunity, and I pray that you'll bless us now as we study and go into your word. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, amen. Oh, well, good morning. So this morning, actually, I don't have any PowerPoint. I went to try and get some pictures on the internet this morning of my topic today, and my internet wasn't working, so I couldn't do that. But anyway, the topic today is called Two Blind Men. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at two stories in the Bible. Now, the sermon today, what we're going to look at is not going to be anything real theological, anything amazing, but what I hope that this sermon will do for you today is that it will touch your heart and that you will realize that God loves you and that he cares for you. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at these two stories. We're going to read through the stories first, and then we're going to look and see what we can learn from these stories. But before we go there and look at the stories, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Now, you might have heard me teach this once before. Maybe I'm sure you've read this verse before. But there's something that I want to show you in this verse. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and verse 17. You know, when I've given Bible studies, and when I've taught before, you know, I've had people come up to me and say, oh, you know, the stories in the Bible, you know, yeah, they happened 2,000 years ago, and, you know, they don't hold any real meaning for me. You know, they happened, but, you know, what can I learn from them? But, you know, every single verse in the Bible is good for us. We find in 2 Timothy, just one sec, I'll be there in a second, chapter 3 and verse 16 and verse 17. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And then what does it say here? Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And then it goes on to say in verse 17, that what? That the man of God, what does it say? May be complete. Some translations say perfect, equipped, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You see, every single thing, every sentence, everything you read in the Bible is profitable for your spiritual growth. So when we look at these two stories this morning, you know, we're going to see how these stories can apply to our lives and what we can learn from them and how it can encourage us in our spiritual journey with God. So let's just turn to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Now, when we read these two stories, we're going to see some similarities between these two stories. What I like to do when I study the Bible is read, you know, one story and then go to another story and see that it, you know, how it is similar and what I can learn from both stories. So we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 20 and we're going to look in verse, just let me see, Matthew chapter 20 and we're going to see in verse 29 to 46 and we're going to begin and we read, it says, now, as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet. But they cried out all the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What do you want? What would you do? What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had, what does it say here? He had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight and they followed him. So here we read this first story. Here we have how many blind men? Two. And they call out to Jesus. And we'll come back and look at the story in a minute. Okay, let's just turn to Mark chapter 8. Is everyone there? Okay, Mark chapter 8, we're going to look at verses 22, and we're going to read to verses 25. Then he came to Bethsaida. Okay, so this is talking about Jesus. Then he came to a Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, "I see like," what does it say? "I see like trees walking." Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. So here we have two stories. And each of these stories involve what?
A blind man.
And now we look at these stories and we're thinking, okay, that's good. We see two stories. We see a blind man in each story, and yeah, Jesus heals them. Very good. You know, that was 2,000 years ago. And yeah, what does that mean for me today? What do you think we can see and we can learn from these verses? You know, just as Jesus healed these blind men 2,000 years ago, so he can heal us today. But maybe, you know, through this past year that, you know, we have had, when I stop and think of the date today, you know, it's the end of the year, I think about the past months, you know, the past weeks that we have had. And I think about my life and I think about what I have done, the things that I have achieved. You know, every new year, you know, you have new year resolutions, don't you? And, you know, you say, okay, I would like to achieve this, this, this. I want to better do this. And, you know, you set all these goals. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you, at the beginning of this year, and you look back now, did you achieve all your New Year resolutions? How many of you achieved two of them? I don't know how many you had, but I hope you had more than one. No one? Did you achieve any of them? Yeah, you did? Praise the Lord. That's good. Well, you know, I think back and, you know, I think about the past year, and, you know, it's been good times, it's been bad times, and there's been times where, you know, I've been thinking, I pray, and I'm like, God, you know, where are you? You know, I want about to do this, but I don't see your hand in my life at this point in time. I'm wondering, where are you? What would you have me to do? And, you know, I talk to my family and my friends, you know, wow, you know, God just answered my prayer. I'm thinking, God, you've answered their prayer, but you haven't answered mine. I'm thinking, where are you, God? Have you ever thought that before? Why, you know, God has answered someone else's prayer, but he has not answered yours. Have you thought that? You thought, where is God in my life? You know, where is he? You know, God, you say you care about me, but I can't see you right now. Have you ever thought that? And, you know, when I look at these two stories, you know, I can see, you know, something that we can learn from these stories. So here we see these two blind men. Now let's just go through the first story to begin with. Here we understand Jesus, okay? He had just been with his disciples. He'd been teaching them and telling them parables. And, you know, the Pharisees and everyone was with him. And here he was teaching them. And, you know, as he was leaving, you know, a multitude of people, a crowd of people were following him. And as he's walking out of the city of Jericho, about to go to the city of Jerusalem, you know, he's telling them and he's teaching them about certain things that must happen to him. And the disciples, you know, they aren't concentrating on what Jesus is saying. What they are doing is they're bickering amongst themselves who is going to be the greatest. And here they are, you know, they're talking and you know, everyone's, you know, and some of the people have just been hearing Jesus and probably didn't quite understand what he was saying, and others were maybe disagreeing, and then maybe you had those who were just willing and humble and wanted to learn in the crowd as well. And so here they are, you know, they're following Jesus, there's a multitude, and, you know, someone yells out and says, you know, Jesus is here. And so these blind men, you know, what do they hear? They're like, oh, we heard Jesus is here. You know, he can heal us. And so what do they do in the story? Is anyone sleeping? No. So, yeah, they call out, Son of David, Jesus, Lord, have mercy on us. And you know, they say, and then what happens in the story? Then the people that are following Jesus are like, shut up, be quiet, we can't hear him. You know, you're disturbing us. And so, you know, and then do they care? They're like, no, we need Jesus. You know, they've heard about what he has done. They've heard of the miracles. And like, Jesus, Son of David, Lord, have mercy on me. And Jesus, what does he do? His all compassionate ear hears. And he comes and he calls them. And what does he say? What would you have me to do? And what do they say? That our eyes may be opened. Here, they come to Jesus. They recognize that he is the Savior. Not all the people in the multitude believe it, but they did because they called him and said, Son of David, have mercy on us. Here we can see their faith. And they say, please heal us. Please. And so what does Jesus do then? He has compassion on them, gets his hands, and puts them on their eyes. The hands that, you know, way back in the beginning of time, created the world. He puts his hands on them, touches them, and he says, your faith has made you whole. As soon as he takes his hands off their eyes, what do they see? They see Jesus. They see, you know, the Savior, the Redeemer, the Healer, and their friend. And so here, you know, Jesus has just healed them, and they are so, you know, filled with, you know, gratitude and love for him that they then follow him. And so here we see the first story. Here we see they were blind and they were healed by Jesus. And now, you know, when I was reading this, I was thinking, okay, to begin when I was studying this, I was like, okay, you know, here we see a blind story. Let's have a look at the other blind stories in the Bible of other blind men. What can I learn from these stories that tell me about these blind men? Why were they put in the Bible? What can I learn from them? So then I turned to Mark chapter 8, and then, you know, I read another story. And here we have, you know, another blind man. But what happens to this blind man? How does this story go? You know, we're going to compare these two stories and see what we can learn. What happens in the second story? Excuse me. What we find here, you know, here's a blind man, and someone brings him to Jesus. And so, you know, he's brought to Jesus, and you know, like, you know, the friends maybe said, you know, can you please heal him? You know, he's blind. Can you please heal him? And, you know, I'm sure this blind man, you know, has heard of Jesus before. And he, you know, I'm sure, you know, there's this ray of hope in him, and he's thinking, yes, he has healed other people. You know, hopefully he can help and heal me. And so, you know, we find here that, you know, Jesus, what does he do? You know, when this blind man comes to him, what does he do? Does he straight away put his hands on his eyes? What does he do? So as soon as he sees him, he gets his hand, puts it on his eyes. Oh, he can see? No. No. What's he do? He grabs him by the hand and then leads him through the city. And then takes him outside the city, puts his hands on him, and heals him. Straight away? No. You know, when I was reading this story, I was thinking, you know, if I was this blind man, I have heard how Jesus healed other people. If I was this blind man, I would be confused. I'll be thinking, yes, Jesus, you've healed all these other people, but you're not healing me, and you're just grabbing me by the hand, and you're leading me out of the city. What are you doing? You know, can you really heal me? Are you too ashamed that you can't heal me, so you want to take me out of the city so no one can see? No, but, you know, he continues to hold onto Jesus' hand. He has this little bit of faith, and he says, yes, he says, I you know, you're not healing me yet, but I believe, you know, you can heal me. I'm going to continue to hold. And, you know, we don't know. But possibly as Jesus is walking through the town, and now I'm sure of this, there'll be other people that are coming along and saying, Jesus, heal me. And I don't know, maybe Jesus even healed them. We don't know. But here he is. He gets him outside the town. And then what does he do? He, like, put spit on his eyes, right? How would you feel? And then he gets some clay, puts some, you know, clay on his eyes. You know, he says to the blind man, can you see? And can he see? He's like, I can see like trees walking. I can't, you know, to him, you know, yeah, he can see something, but you know, it's not very clear. And so he sees these, you know, trees like walking, and he's probably thinking, can you really heal me? You know, can I really, you know, do you have the power to bow to hear me? Are you really a personal God that cares about me? And so, you know, Jesus then, you know, once again, he gets his hands, and then, you know, he puts them on his eyes. And then he takes them off. And what happens? You know, Jesus took off his hands, and once again, the man, you know, he could see. But, you know, he didn't see trees walking. He's seen the pure, lovely face of Jesus. He had just witnessed the miracle of God working in his life. You know, what I think of this story, and I think, you know, if I was that blind man, I probably would have let go of Jesus' hand. Would you have let go of Jesus' hand? But I pray that, you know, that each one of you would not let go of Jesus' hand if you were in his case. You know, so here, you know, we see this blind man, he didn't let go of Jesus' hand. He continued to hold on to him, even though he was not being healed straight away as the other blind man. So here we see two stories of these blind men. Now we see how they were different. Jesus healed one straight away, and he healed the other one, you know, it took some time. You know, maybe, you know, I'm thinking, so Jesus didn't heal them quite on the same time. You know, Jesus, you know, he doesn't always answer my prayers the same as he answers other people's prayers. You know, when I look at these stories, I think, okay, so what can I learn? Why did he not heal this man straight away? Why did he heal these two people to begin with straight away? And then this second story, this man, why didn't he heal him straight away? I think, why? Why doesn't God always answer my prayers straight away and he answers other people's prayers? Is it that he really cares about me? Or, you know, why? Why does he wait? What do you think? Why does he wait? Why doesn't he answer your prayers straight away? So quiet. Okay. Yeah. I believe it's to do with the faith that you have. The trust you have in God. God wants to increase your faith. Maybe, you know, you pray and, you know, God has answered someone else's prayer and he hasn't answered yours. It is because of your faith. He says, I want you to trust me more. I want to test you. I want you to really know that, yes, I do care about you, but I want you to be able to grow in faith. And you think, but how can that grow? If he answered my prayer straight away, you know, I'll be able to grow in faith. But, you know, why do I have to wait? You know, isn't that, that's like more like testing my faith. Why? You know, why do I have to wait? And you know, there's a verse in the book of James. Let's turn to the book of James. James chapter 1. Now, I'm sure most of you here are probably familiar with what we're about to read. James chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 2. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or various trials, knowing this, that the testing or the trying of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and without reproach. And it says, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. Nothing wavereth. Or without doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. So here we read here, it says, the beginning of the verse, it says, count it all joy when you fall into what? Diverse temptations. When you fall into trials, when you fall into troubles, it says, count it all joy. And you think, okay, Lord, you know, you want me to be happy when I'm going through a hard time? How can I do that? Have you thought that before? God, you want me to be happy now, but how? I think it's impossible. But here we find, you know, God says, no, count it all joy. Why? Why does it say count it all joy? Because he says, you know, I'm trying you because I want you to become patient. I want you to be able to be patient and stand still and see who I am. I want you to be patient so I can work in your life. When we're so busy and we're not patient, you know, can God work in our life? No. So God says, I want you to stand still. I want you to be patient. You know, when those trials come, he says, yes, you know, just wait. I will be there. Just be patient. Let me do my work. And then he says, if you lack wisdom, ask of me. And he says, I will give it to you liberally. In other words, I'm not going to withhold any of this wisdom. Now, I want to give you the wisdom that, you know, that we find. We could have a whole lesson about, you know, King Solomon, but we look at the wisdom that God can give and that the wisdom that God would like to give to you. So here we see, you know, sometimes when we go through these hard times, it is God saying, I want to be with you. I want to show you my power. I want to better work in your life. Just wait and see what I can do for you. But so many of us, you know, we don't want to wait, do we? And even myself included. Sometimes I don't want to wait. But then, you know, I'm reminded of this verse. And, you know, when I wait, then I see the salvation of our God. You know, I think of you know, a story of the Israelites. You know, their enemy is coming to attack them, and you know, they're all worried. And God says, "Don't worry, I will fight this battle for you. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And this is what we need to do today, to better see the power of God. Is stand still and let Him work in our lives. So we look at this and we see, and we can learn this from these two lessons. But what else can we learn? We look at this and, you know, maybe you think, okay, I'm not really like these blind men. You know, I don't really need to wait upon God. But, you know, I'd like to put to you, maybe you're not blind physically, but maybe you are blind spiritually. Maybe you are blind and you don't even know it. Or maybe you are blind and you can see it, but you don't want to realize it. You want to continue to go in the way you are. You know, let's just turn to the book of Isaiah. And we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 10. Here, you know, this verse describes how I have felt at times. I'm sure you have felt like this before as well. It says, we grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday and at twilight. We are as dead men in desolate places. Have you ever, like, you know, woken up in the middle of the night and, you know, maybe you have to go to the toilet or something, get a drink, and, you know, you get up and it's all dark and you can't see where you're going, and, you know, you walk along, and I've done it many times, you know, I'm walking along and I get up and I go into the corner of the bed and I stub my toe. Have you ever done that? Why? Because you can't see, yeah? And so, you know, you need to turn on the light. You know, we've all been in dark places at times. We've all felt as if we don't know where we're going. We've all, like, maybe stubbed our toe or, you know, reaped the consequence of our actions because, you know, we feel like we're in the dark. You know, we try and feel hold, you know, maybe we try and grab hold of it or something to be able to show us where to go, to be able to, you know, lead us. And yet, you know, we try and find something secure to be able to be able to show us, give us some direction. And this is what this verse is saying. You know, we feel at times that we need something to be out for our security. And so maybe we're not blind physically, but we all have been blind spiritually. So we all need God's guidance. We all need the power of the healing hand that only Jesus can give. And so here, maybe, you know, we're not physically blind, maybe we can be spiritually blind. But I also said maybe at times, you know, we can be spiritually blind and we don't even know it. Now, as I understand, during the camp that we just had, you looked at the seven churches, right? Okay. Now, who remembers about the church of Laodicea? Sorry, what was that, Rose? Yeah, one of the churches called Laodicea. Do you remember what God said to them? Yeah, he says you're neither hot nor cold. Let's go there. Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 to verse 18. It says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you or spew you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. And do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with the eye salve, and you may see. So here, God is saying, I know the condition you are in. You know, I know that you are wretched, poor, blind, and naked, but you can't see it. You don't know it. And he says, I want you to be able to buy of me gold. He says, I want to be able to show you what I can give. Laodicea was a city, and about, I think, about 16 kilometers away, okay, there was a river. But anyway, this river, okay, had hot water. It was a hot springs. And the river would flow down to the city, but by the time the water got to the city, it was lukewarm. And this water had minerals in it. Okay, so if you try and drink this water, it's impossible. You spew it out of your mouth. And so this water had minerals in it. And it's just interesting, okay, that this water, you could not drink it. And all in the city, it was very fashionable and very rich. And in the city, they all wore black clothes. They had this special, they had these sheep that they bred that was black wool. It was like a velvety color. And because when they made their clothes, you couldn't see the stains from the water. And so here we see, you know, these rich people, you know, wearing black clothes because of the stains of the water, or the watermarks that would leave on the clothes. So here we see, you know, these people, you know, they had everything, but yet they were hiding something. They were hiding the stains of their garments. You know, I stop and I think, you know, when we, you know, what does a garment represent in the Bible? Righteousness, right? Let's just turn to Isaiah. I think it's Isaiah, yeah. Chapter 64. Is everyone there? Okay, we're going to look in verse 6. But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. You know, put up your hand if you are completely righteous. No, you know, we are not completely righteous. We find here that the Bible tells us that our righteousness is like filthy rags. You know, our condition is filthy compared to the condition that God wants to be able to see in our heart. Here, you know, maybe we have, I don't know, maybe we have stained garments. Maybe we are blind. And, you know, we have things that are in our lives and that we need to give to God. but we don't want to do it. So we try and hide it up with maybe actions, with things that we do, so people can't see who we really are. But you know, God says, I want to bow to wash your garments. I want to give you clean garments. I don't want you to wear the black garments to bow to hide your character. He says, I want to bow to give you a white garment, a clean garment. I want to bow to give you my righteousness. But do you want to take hold of Christ's righteousness? Do you want to be able to let Him heal your blindness? Turn with me to Isaiah again. Let's just look in verses, Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 16. No, here we have a beautiful promise. God says, I want to take your blindness from you. I want you to be able to see. And we read here in Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 16, and it says, I will bring the blind by a way that they do not know. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked places straight. These things I will do for them. God says, I want to take away, you know, the rough road that you walk on. He says, I want about to make the crooked places that you walk, He says, I want to make them straight. He says, I want to make the path in your life, you know, visible so you know where you're going, so you know what you need to do in life. I want to make it so you can see. Do you want about to let God make it so you can see? Do you want to cry out and say, my Redeemer? You want to cry out and say, Jesus Christ, Son of David, Lord, have mercy on me. Do you want to call out to Him and say, God, help me, please, you know, anoint my eyes with eye salve so I can see? Interesting as well, you know, the in Laodicea, it was known for its medical school. And they had a special eye salve. But here, God says, your eye salve, yes, but you know, I can give better eye salves. You know, maybe you know, people say, I can help you in this situation, but the only situation only person that can really help you in that situation is God. He's the one that has the true eye salve and the one that works. Let's just turn, we have only a few more verses. Let's just turn to Proverbs. I love this verse here in Proverbs. Chapter 3, now you probably all know it. Do you know what verses I'm going to? Chapter 3, yes. Okay, so is everyone there? It says, trust in the Lord in verse 5. So Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He shall be able to direct your paths. You know, are you letting God take control of your life? Are you letting Him heal your blindness? Yes, maybe, you know, it's seeming like you're taking some time and, you know, it doesn't seem like God is really healing you straight away, but don't give up. Continue to hold on because He will be with you and He will not let you down. He will take you through stages to be able to grow your faith, but don't give up. Trust in Him. Let's just turn to one last verse in the book of Isaiah. Chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. Now, actually, I probably could turn to another verse, but we can just leave it here. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Is everyone there? Here, God says, come. Here He is calling, and He says, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins may be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be white as wool. Here God says, I want you about to see. I want to about to heal you so your garments are no longer red or stained with scarlet. I want them to about to be as white as snow. All you need to do is come. Are you coming to Jesus? Are you letting Him into your heart to be able to heal your blindness? And if you are, I want to encourage you through this next year not to give up. Continue to hold on. God will heal you just as He healed this blind man. but just continue to hold on. You may see God answer other people's prayers, but that does not mean He is not going to answer your prayer, because He cares about you personally. You see how He treated these two men? He didn't treat them the same. He treated them as if He cared for them and that He loved each one as an individual. And I want you to know that He loves you as an individual as well. Just come to Him. Okay, let's pray. God in heaven, Lord, we want to thank You this morning for the stories of miraculous power, dear Lord, that Jesus performed 2,000 years ago, Lord. I want to thank You that we could read and that we can learn, Lord. And I pray that You'll be with each person here this morning. Dear Lord, I don't know their condition. You know, dear Lord, and they know. And I pray, dear Lord, that You will be able to open our eyes so that we may see. I pray that You'll be able to give us Your garment of righteousness. I pray, dear Lord, that we'll be willing to be able to take it and to be able to put it on, Lord. And that we will be able to reflect You because we looked into Your face. Heavenly Father, I pray this in the most powerful, precious name of Jesus. Amen.